Blog Talk Radio.
I got somebody in the chat room already, and I'm kind of excited by that. And I'm on the air tonight. I really don't know what I want to talk about. I've been out of touch with everything. I guess I can announce officially I am going to be back at the school for tomorrow, and I'm kind of excited by that, and I hope you all will be too. Stuff is coming to my telephone. Let's see what it is. Wait a minute, I'm very confused by a whole lot of stuff that's going on here now on my text on my cell phone. I thought I got another text from somebody, but I'm not. I just don't know what's going on. I don't know what I'm talking about. I don't know who I'm talking about with things, but I'm here to talk. I'll tell you one thing. I got into a little of something with a guy this morning about gay pride, straight pride, all this. What the heck is the matter with us that we go about putting all of this effort into our sexual preferences? I do not understand it. I mean, I don't. Yeah, I'm straight, so what? I didn't go someplace one day and order up straight. So I am. Somebody else doesn't go someplace, at least I don't think, and order up gay. It's how they are. And for the most part, it doesn't have anything to do with how we are. It's just the way our bodies are put together. It's that simple. You know, yeah, I'm one of those guys who uses the access theory. The sentimentality that you have the most access to is how things develop. Yeah, I'm sure I'm a Freudian. I was born in 1950. I encountered Sigmund Freud. Maybe I'm a tail ender, but, you know, I never really got to his disciple. Carl Jung. Man and His Symbols, though I read it several times. But you can't even begin to imagine reading the interpretations of dreams was like. And, you know, I've been a chess player for most of my life. I actually thought I was good once, but that wasn't true. You know, I'm all right. But I'm sure not a great player by any stretch of the imagination. Hey, 7371, glad to have you on the line tonight. But anyway, I need some approaches to take with the world, you know. Looks like I'm getting a whole bunch of I don't know. It looks like I'm getting a whole bunch of calls on my show tonight. Well, I'm sorry. I'm talking about my email. But I made the decision today, absolutely for sure, that I'm going to give this TDP another stab at things. I'm just so afraid the place where I teach or engage with learners is going to so quickly become just a school, just like all the other schools are. I'm really a little bit worn out by that. But yes, no, I absolutely made the final decision. And I'll make you a guarantee that I'll make it through the month of September. And then we'll take it from there. Right now my head is splitting. But I really didn't want to go off to another trip to the ice cream factory. So if you got anything you want to talk about tonight, why don't you just give us a call at 347-945-6713. That is the call-in number for the Norm at Night show. And I will be talking. And it will be fun. I would love to talk to you. And I'll be happy to. And it will be all there is to talk about. What do you want to talk about today? To be honest, here on vacation, I haven't really given much thought to the Norm at Night show. So let's just go see what's happening in the world. The house I'm in, they don't watch too much news on the television, and I don't really watch too much on the television myself. Looks like I don't quite. The WikiLeaks source was just found guilty on charges of espionage. So I guess that raises the stakes on the Assange trial. Snowden's father speaking out. How his father's talking about how we can't seem to talk with him. Manning, however, was not convicted of aiding the enemy, but he was convicted with that's interesting. What else is going on here? I don't. Does anybody out there remember who Aaron Schwartz was? The guy who committed suicide. Let's see what the MIT report on the handling of the university's prosecution of Aaron Schwartz. The report was over 100 pages. And some people are calling it a whitewash. MIT thought speaking out for Schwartz would make things worse for him. MIT claims its community didn't care about the case until Schwartz's suicide. And MIT ignored all circumstances surrounding the case to try to stay neutral. Well, I don't know if there's a right answer or a wrong answer on that one. If you think you have one, why don't you give us a call at 347-945-6713. Let's go to my Twitter feed and see what's going on. Not a whole ton of stuff. Oh, I got to remember to send that... Why bloggers should freelance. Let's see what Amy Tan has to say about bloggers freelancing. I like number one, additional income. Well, you know, if somebody out there wants Norm at Night to write blog entries for them, just give me a call. We'll see if we can't increase my income. Branding and promotion. Okay, you know, that's a usual. Topic variety. Tend to go write for other places. You get to write about different topics. And finally, it's an educational experience. Yeah, I guess Amy is right about that. It does bring some of that to the fore. And that's a good thing. I find that exciting and a good thing. I'm just telling them, just listen to the show. Hey, you know, we had a fall off last week, and I wanted to investigate that. We'll go back to the blog feed in a minute. It's a little disjointed tonight because I wasn't even going to do anything on the show, and unless something juicy starts happening here, I just may stop at 9:30 instead of going all the way to 10 o'clock. Well, how many listens did we get last week? 7:23. We only got 315. We seem to be going down in the summertime. Well, I guess that's pretty normal, and maybe I'll just cut the shows. No, I'll keep them an hour, but I may go down tonight. But July, we had a steady climb. April was 26.96, May was 35.46, June and 37.42, and then we had a little drop off again to 37.20. The number of live callers has gone down, and people are checking in with the archive, and I really like that. I mean, I'm happy about that. But let's go back in the Twitter feed. I was looking at Amy Tran. Not really too much going on. It's just a lazy July day in the summertime in Washington, D.C. So I'm about 2.5 hours away on the train right now. That would be kind of nice to come into the district. Yeah, I don't see a whole bunch going on. Now, let's go over to Facebook and see what's going on there. You know, the social media is really very interesting. I just had a big Skype meeting via Skype with my place of employment, and it was really pretty interesting. I do like Skype. I mean, I really like Skype. Actually, I'm looking at one of my favorite musicians. Her name is Lisa Lynn. And she is flying her kite with her husband, Mark. That's kind of nice to see. She's a guitar player. He's a motorhead. Rock and roll is here to stay. You gotta love it. As long as you're listening to Norm at Night, remember, if you're in the Washington, D.C. area and it's Thursday and you like the blues, you might as well go down to the Zoo Bar right across from the Washington Zoo and listen to Big Boy Little Band and hear them put on the, what do you call that, the zoo, put on the Zoo Bar Blues Jam. It's really a nice thing, and I like to go down. I was down there last Thursday, but actually the first time in a long time, and I'm going to want to go again. Of that, there is no question. And I'm hoping I hear somebody. I don't see too much on the just go back to the studio. Hello? What happened to my chat room? Let's hope it's still Hey, 7371, why don't you have, if you have something to say? Where'd you go on your vacation this year? I'm having a lot of fun here in Deep Creek Lake. The weather has been, well, I think it's been super duper because it's been very, very cool. Or as some people would even say, it's been very, very cold. Yesterday, I stayed out of the sea. That's about all I'm gonna do. But I don't have anybody in the chat room. I don't have anybody on Face doing anything on Facebook. There's not a whole bunch of stuff to do on the watch it and post short of well, I guess we could go see how they're already putting the Redskins in the Super Bowl. We'll see what's coming up here. I've heard enough of this. They've been there twice. Let's see what else we got. What's the real reason kids need to master their math skills? Well, let's see what she has to say. Students need technical skills to open doors, but they need to be able to think critically and creatively to participate in meaningful and potentially liberating work. Yeah, but you got to do that kind of.
Hello, si no escucho bien, ¿quién es? Sí, ahora, hello, Perla, Pamela. Sí, ¿no me está escuchando? Sí, yo te estoy escuchando. Hello, sí, yo te estoy escuchando.
I don't know. Enough for that one. All these people are talking about going back to school. Oh my Lord, I don't want to go back to school. I want to go back to learning, but I don't want to go back to school. I mean, I just don't. It's amazing how the different ways that people use Twitter. I mean, it runs the whole gamut. I have, I don't know, do you call them friends on Twitter? Followers, yes. I have followers in all different ages. And so I get all different kinds of things. No, I'm not seeing anything new there either. I'm hoping somebody comes and gives me Hey, I got somebody coming in here. Hey, you're on with Norm.
Hey, how's your vacation going?
The vacation's going pretty well. I think I may end a little early tonight.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was trying to get in, and I was cut off by some Mexican lady.
Oh, really?
She just showed. I mean, the voice just got on the line, and she didn't speak any English. My Spanish isn't good enough to converse. So eventually, I said, "You have the wrong number," and she seemed to know what that meant. But I don't know where she came from.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty funny. So what's new out there on the West Coast?
Not an awful lot, you know. All kinds of crazy legislation going through the Assembly and Senate, and really bizarre stuff. I don't know how much of it's going to pass, but we'll see. They want to tax bullets, every bullet. They want to get rid of
the state of Maryland. Oh, that's funny. You know what the state of Maryland is about to do? If you own a car that doesn't use gasoline, they're going to put a special tax on you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Right. Well, that's... Well, you know, the whole idea of gasoline taxes were to, support infrastructure, the highways and such. So, you know, they can't get a free ride.
Oh, no. Oh, I'm so mad about that.
And let's face it, how clean can those things be? I mean, you're getting electricity, and who knows where that electricity comes from? A nuclear reactor, a coal-fired generator, you don't know.
Well, what does that have to do with it?
Gasoline? You're still polluting. Yeah. You're still polluting.
So what?
Well, if you're polluting, you
the gasoline tax was for a consumption tax for the use of gasoline.
And most of it went to the transportation department. At least that's the common.
And so, what are they going to do when finally they eradicate cigarettes? Tax everybody who doesn't smoke?
Well, we'll see what happens. This whole thing with the e-cigarettes is catching on.
I don't even know what that is.
Okay. Well, it's sort of like a cigarette. It's battery powered. It contains nicotine. You can get it in numerous flavors, but mostly tobacco and menthol tobacco. And you press a little button and inhale, and it vaporizes the nicotine. It's in some base, I forget what chemical they use there, but it's in an inert base. It vaporizes. You inhale the vapor, and then you can blow the vapor out. It looks just like smoke, but it's not. Has no odor. Costs about the same as cigarettes, but has no tobacco tax. Ooh.
So, well, that would be the same thing that you tax the electronic cigarette users.
Here's the thing. I mean, in terms of health risk, it's practically zero. I mean, yes.
Really?
Nicotine,
it's safe?
Nicotine is toxic in high amounts, of course. But you can buy nicotine on Amazon. You can buy an 8-ounce bottle and do whatever you want with it, I guess. But it doesn't have all of the carcinogens. Those are gone, eliminated.
But does it still meet the addiction?
The emission?
No, like I smoked cigarettes for the nicotine.
It satisfies
my addiction. Nicotine and an e-cigarette satisfy addiction?
Yeah, in fact, I only have one that I've tried, and it's very strong. It's like smoking a really strong cigarette, like a Bull Durham.
You still smoke?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought I coughed enough on the phone where you would have picked it up.
No, I don't remember you ever coughing, to be perfectly honest.
Oh, well, I'm sure I have.
Hey, how many of you guys out there smoke these e-cigarettes? How much do they cost?
This one was $7.95, and it has, oh, they said 500 puffs, so it's the equivalent of 2.5 packs of cigarettes. So, I don't know.
Wait,
like
did
I say,
you put a new battery in it, or did it recharge?
Oh, no, it's this one's disposable. They have these kits where you just put cartridges in the cigarette, and I guess that's a little bit cheaper. And they have other ones where you mix up your own. You buy the nicotine, and you pour it into the little cartridge. And
all
then
right, I got to ask this question.
Mm-hmm.
If you can put the stuff from tobacco that matters into one of these e-cigarettes, what about the stuff from grass?
Well,
do we have M cigarettes?
You
M
can.
Joints?
Well, what they do, it's another way to smoke marijuana, is they have vaporizers where you actually put the bud in the vaporizer, and it will heat it just to the point where it doesn't burn, to where it becomes a vapor. And then you breathe that in. And it's very similar. There's no smoke. You're just getting the pure hit of THC or, you know, the cannabinoids. So
why can't you just put that one of these e-cigarettes then?
You could do that, but the vaporizers are not exactly portable. You know, these things plug in.
No, but what I mean is, if you can take nicotine and remove it from tobacco and put it in a cigarette, why can't you remove these other things from marijuana and put it in one of these cigarettes?
Oh, I'm sure you could. You know, I don't think there's anything on the market yet. But, you know, they've been doing, there's quite a lot of research going
now,
on right now.
Would that be considered distribution?
Okay, one of the things that they do is, well, you know how you make hash, right? You make it into like a tarry substance, but
right.
It's extremely potent. Well, they can also turn it into a liquid, and that's usually sold, it's usually mixed with something, or a tincture, that's what it's called. So you would take like maybe 3-4 ounces of marijuana, you put it in a jar, fill it with vodka, and for about 8 days you'll just shake it every once in a while. Then you drain it, get all the marijuana out because there's nothing left in it. All of the THC and the cannabinoids are all in the vodka now. And then you can put some fruit flavor in it or whatever you want to do, but it's oral at that point. And people tend to, like, keep it under their tongue or something like that, and it gets in. So, but that's another way to do it, you know. But you will stay high longer because of the way it's going to go through your body. So you just have to know that. So, yeah, a lot of this stuff is going on. You know, we'll see. I mean, now I forget how many states have medicinal or recreational marijuana. Quite a few now.
Why don't they just stop the whole nonsense?
Well, yeah, I'd like to see Obama do that. I'd like Sierra Calder do that. But you know where they're at. Pawns to the pharmaceutical industry. Pawns to the prison industry. You
pawns?
Get it?
Barack Obama, a pawn
He's
to
a
the
pawn.
Prison industry.
A pawn, a lackey, whatever you want to call him. I don't know.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah. Well, I won't give them exclusive blame, you know, but under the Bush administration, they didn't nearly do what the Obama administration is doing. I mean, the kind of raids and the property confiscation and the things they did out here, I mean, it was talk police state, good God.
No, I guess I can understand all that.
You know, and they continue. I mean, it's, you know, at one time, I think in the county, we had 110 marijuana dispensaries.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think there are more than 20 now, maybe less. You know, and all these people were, you know, they had all their money, you know, bank accounts seized and all their property seized and they're facing, you know, lengthy prison terms. And they, you know, mm-hmm. they weren't, but in California, they were not breaking the law. So, you know, I'm talking states' rights here. Leave us alone. And why?
Something's got to give with all this states' rights stuff.
Yeah, well, the other thing is this, that, you know, they have it listed as a Schedule I drug. Now, look.
Uh-huh.
Which puts it in the rank with heroin and LSD, cocaine. You know, that it's not like that.
Well, everybody should be able to take whatever drugs they want.
Oh, yeah, I don't. I mean, if my neighbors want to...
There should be consequences.
You know, there's only a problem when you're outside of your home, if you're driving a car, or if you're in some way affecting other people.
Okay.
And then, well, we have laws to cover that. I mean, I can't walk down the street drunk. Although people do, but I also shouldn't be able to walk down the street stoned out of my mind, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, all I think, you know, any of the regulations we have for alcohol could well apply to marijuana. So, but, you know, like I say, this whole war on drugs was just a tremendous waste of human life and money and resources and just caused a whole lot of grief for a great many people. All unnecessary. But you can't get that through Obama's head. Ain't no way. Even though we've got these pictures of him toking them joints. God.
Oh, Jesus.
I mean, look at this. I mean, that's the hypocrisy. That's part that really gets me. So, I mean, I don't use it anymore. I gave that up. What can he do? Well, he does have a lot of influence over the Food and Drug Administration, huh? And Holder and the DEA.
But he can't just eliminate the laws.
Well, there are a lot of things you can do. For one, who says you have to enforce them? Now, isn't that kind of what they do now? They pick the laws they like.
No, well, see, he has a special problem, though.
Yeah.
He starts not enforcing laws. That's what he's supposed to do. That becomes impeachable. And with the with the wackos, he's got to be very careful how he does that.
Look, does the EPA not write their own regulations?
No.
Yes.
No.
Of course they do. Who the hell else would do it? Congress?
They can't write regulations. The Congress has to approve of them.
There are, they reinterpret them. We'll call it that. Now, you know, and that's EPA is probably the worst at it, but the Food and Drug Administration has an incredible amount of room to determine what's what.
But they can't write regulations outside the law.
Well, no, we're not talking about outside the law. We're talking about regulations within the framework
like
of the law.
For instance.
Yes.
Norm,
look, you can write regulations from left to right within a loosely defined law, and that's mostly what they've got. There's a hell of a lot.
Right, but those regulations, that's what you challenge in court.
Yeah, well, maybe you do and maybe you don't. But, okay, let's go this way. Okay, let's say teenage sex education.
Okay.
Under the Clinton administration, it was pretty liberal, meaning they talked about abstinence sometimes, but they mostly talked prevention. They taught birth control pills. They taught condoms and that sort of thing, right?
Right.
Now
Right.
Now the Bush people get in, and now we aren't talking about birth control. We're talking abstinence only. We're talking church-based education.
Right.
Okay.
The president
and now we're back the other way.
The president can't go tell the police forces not to arrest people for this crime. They can't do that.
Yes, I understand that. But look, let's just put it this way. Okay.
If they could do that, then they could say arrest people for things that aren't crimes.
Look. If I'm running the Justice Department, I have a budget, correct?
Yes.
I have money to allocate. Now, I can allocate a whole lot of money on the things I think are important and very little on the ones I don't like.
Right.
That's
and
how,
when the Congress investigates you and finds out what you're doing, they can impeach you for that.
That's not an impeachable offense.
It is an impeachable offense not to execute the laws of the United
but
States.
But he's not. The deal is this. It's not that he isn't executing the law. It's just he's putting very little effort on it.
That's a dereliction of duty.
Oh, bull. That's not. Come on.
I'm telling
Look,
you, with him,
Norm,
it
goes on all the time. Come on.
I'm not saying, no, you're not hearing me. I'm not saying that it doesn't. Bill Clinton, George Bush, this is Barack Obama. These guys look for anything.
Yeah, well, look, you know, I mean, for example, well, let's look at Trayvon Martin. Look at the resources they're pouring into that. A case that they have no prayer of winning. But they're going to do it anyway.
And have they decided?
No. I'm sure that he'll have teams of lawyers spending every waking hour trying to figure out a way to bust Zimmerman for a civil rights violation. At least that's what they promised.
Uh-oh, Gulf of Mexico. This is interesting. The Gulf of Mexico dead zone is twice the size of 2012. Thousands of dead fish, crabs, shrimp wash ashore.
Mm-hmm.
The dead zone appears each summer, and what it does is it suffocates the marine life.
Yeah.
The reason this dead zone was larger than usual, it is estimated because of the droughts from last year.
Oh. Okay.
I thought it was going to be dropped right at the doorstep of what do you call that thing?
Oh, yeah.
BP.
Yeah, BP. They've still got a lot of lawsuits to settle. Yeah, Halliburton just settled a suit. Oh, pretty good fine they laid on them for destroying evidence.
Jesus.
I'm not kidding. So, yeah, there's still quite a bit going on. There are a lot of civil suits that are, you know, still in the works.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So we'll see how that goes. I mean, you know, I would like to see... I would like to see something set up where, let's say, the oil industry, natural gas industries, you know, are able to set up some sort of, I don't know, a fail-safe organization, an emergency team with all the equipment and all the things they would ever need, pay for it themselves, you know. I want them to do it. Because ultimately they end up doing the cleanup anyway. It's just that it takes so damn long. You know, you got to get boats and this and crews from all over the country and that. But in the Gulf, you could have that sort of an organization on standby 24/7 to take, you know, to take care of whatever's out there. And the other thing is with these damn pipelines, you know, they have the technology to put sensors, like every mile of the pipeline, that can detect leaks and have automatic shutoff valves. And you should be able to contain a leak, you know, almost immediately, as soon as it's detected. And very few people, I mean, these companies are using any of that. Now, I realize it's expensive, but so is an oil spill. So
that's true.
Because, see, that was part of the deal with the XL pipeline, is that they were going to have to really tighten up on the safety and the whole thing. But where I thought Obama was going towards it, you know, to approve it, not today, complete reversal. So I don't know. I know the Canadians are not happy with it at all.
The Canadians aren't happy with that, they said.
Yeah, well, in particular, you know, the whole thing with the Athabasca oil or tar sands and all that. It's actually dirtier and messier than anybody ever dreamed of. And I don't know that it's worth it. And I also think that all of that oil would probably end up being refined into finished products and then exported. I don't think it would do us a damn bit of good. So, I mean, you know, it's a private enterprise, and if it gets approved and it's as safe as can possibly be, then fine, you know. But I mean, one thing I didn't know about was that the oil that comes through, you know, it has to be refined. Mm-hmm. It has to go through a process before it's liquefied to where it can actually go through the pipe, right?
Right.
But even when that oil gets to its destination, it still has an enormous amount of bitumen still in the oil. And it's, you know, these are fine particulates that you can't refine them. You have to just extract them. So you end up with mountains of basically something equivalent to coal, but like a coal powder, coal sand. So you have mountains and mountains of this crap. And what do we do with that? Well,
What do we do with it?
We put it on freighters and we sell it to China. and they fire their electric plants with it. So, yeah. And it's the thing over here, you know. We have incredible air standards for, you know, anything you can think. I mean, we're the only one with cap and trade, you know, for air resources and all that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, 30% of all of our air pollution blows over from China. You can't get rid of it. It's always coming. You know? So for everything we've done with the solar and the wind and all the other crap, it's, I don't know, kind of a wasted effort, I think.
So what are we supposed to do?
Well, hopefully the Chinese will eventually get rid of those plants, but we'll see what happens. I mean, the air pollution there is killer. I mean, it is when I say killer, it is people are being killed by it, you know. You know, because I think you remember, like, how bad London was in the 40s and 50s?
Well, London in the 40s was on fire.
Well, yeah, but the problem with the fog was that it wasn't just fog. It was people burning wood and burning coal and this soot and black air just hung over the whole city, and it was killing people, you know. It took them a long time to clean that up.
So were they supposed to freeze to death?
Well, I don't know that they don't do a whole lot of coal mining anymore. There's still some, of course, but, you know, London, when I was there, what, in 1981, was just as clean as could be, you know. No fog at night. So, but see, here in the valley, now we have, we tend to have low air quality because of being in the valley, and there's a natural layer of smog that's always here. So the biggest pollutant now is exhaust from automobiles, you know. So
yeah,
I have to get my...
So in Maryland, you get yourself an electric car and they tax you because you don't use gasoline.
Oh, well. Now, they haven't done that out here, at least not yet.
Well, they haven't done it yet in Maryland. They're talking about it.
Yeah. I think a few other states are. North Carolina is talking about that, too. Course,
you know,
crazy
these
enough.
Antiquated state governments, now they want to tax the Internet.
Hmm. Yeah, well, as of now, of course, Amazon is building monster warehouses here in California. So now they collect California state tax. I'm very unhappy with that, yes. Because anytime I needed a big ticket electronic item, you know, television or sound system, I always bought it at Amazon, you know. But now, forget it. So I just pay the tax. So I might as well just buy everything locally, you know, which I have been doing now. So, yeah.
It's still better to get it. You got to pay the tax both places. You don't have to drive to one. Easy decision.
Yeah, but my sales tax is 8.75%. So, you know, that can jack up your price. So.
Hold on a second. Go ahead.
All right, well. Hey, you got 5 minutes left here.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I was looking at your picture here. You're in front of one of these giant chess sets.
Yeah, I just pulled an old picture out and just felt like changing it. So
I put
it on last week. It's an old one. It's from 2 years ago, I think. You know, school I used to teach at had one out in the yard, and I took the picture, and I had it.
Yeah, I saw a couple of them in Germany. They were, there was one in Frankfurt, and there was this scrawny old guy, and he'd sit there and drink wine all day. He turned out to be an excellent chess player, probably close to a master. And he would take on all players, but he'd play for wine. The guy could, he would start at like 9, 10 in the morning and just beat anyone who came by and just knock them out. And then you'd have to give him a bottle. So by, you know, by mid-afternoon, you know, he was finished. But it was one of those big sets, you know. And then he had, like, other people move the pieces for him, you know. So I think I have pictures of him playing, too. It was really fun to watch, you know. But yeah, they also do the human chess sets, too.
Yeah, that's always kind of fun.
You know, that's
But the audience usually gets bored before the game gets interesting.
Yeah, well, they do some theatrics, you know. I mean, the pieces fight each other with swords and all that kind of thing. So there's
right,
you know,
but
there's
how many
more
pawns
to it.
Can you still kill? Well, yeah, I mean, how many
pawns can you still... Yeah, well, there's they act it out. There's some drama and whatever, you know. But Germans play chess a lot more than we do. I mean, they have leagues where cities play each other.
We used to do that. Wasn't there a league in Buffalo?
Well, let me think, because we, I mean, how many chess clubs were around? There was maybe...
Cornell Lab had one. Hooker Chemical had a team.
Oh.
What's his name? Fred?
Pena.
Fred Pena. They had a team out in Niagara Falls. Queen City had a team.
Yeah,
yes,
I sort of remember that. I don't know that I was on the team. I mean, you know.
You would just, and then here in Washington, well, it's still going on, but it's kind of a, like, nobody shows up. Every other game's a forfeit.
Oh, wow.
That really sucks.
Yeah, they took it rather seriously. And, you know, they were like 10-man teams. And, you know,
the Buffalo Chess Club, it was 8-person teams.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it got pretty serious. But anyway, we're under a minute, and so I am going back to my vacation. Thanks for the call.
Oh, yes, you should.
before I go, something you will appreciate, a guy I also knew from Buffalo put a photo on Facebook today, Club Commodore, the Rogues.
Oh, geez, yeah. I used to go there when I was, 12, 13 years old.
I was about 16.
Yeah.
And the Rogues, the Mad Men, Wilmer Alexander, and the Dukes.
Yes, did you, somewhere on my timeline?
Uh-huh.
I found his recording, a couple cuts from his album. They only had one album.
Wilmer Alexander?
Yeah. When I get on Facebook, I'll post them on your side so you can listen to them.
All right, thanks, but I got to go here because I'm just about out of time. We'll see you next week, and we'll be coming to you again from Bowie, Maryland. We're out of here from Detroit Lake. Bye-bye.
Take care, now. Good night.
Good night.